Welcome to the Frontiers Podcast, a production of the Heartland Institute for Translational Research. For more information on this program, visit frontiersresearch.org. Frontiersresearch.org. In this edition of the Frontiers Podcast, we visit with Dr. Gary Rosenthal, Director of the Institute for Clinical and Translational Science at the University of Iowa. Dr. Rosenthal delivered a presentation entitled Innovative Approaches for Conducting Efficient Pragmatic Clinical Trials during a symposium in Kansas City on May 31st, 2012. Dr. Rosenthal, you were talking about pragmatic clinical trials today, but before we get into a discussion about that, why don't we talk about clinical trials and the challenges facing clinical trials?
You know, I think we're all aware that over the past, 2 to 3 decades, the cost of conducting clinical trials has increased dramatically. And currently, the costs of conducting clinical trials actually account for a majority of the drug development costs that are incurred primarily by industry-sponsored research. And because the pot of money for research and development is finite, the costlier it is to conduct the necessary clinical trials, then that limits the number of trials and it significantly limits the drug development pipeline.
And the number of participants is also a challenge, correct?
Yes, it's becoming increasingly, difficult to recruit patients for clinical trials. Currently, a large majority of clinical trials never reach their enrollment targets. And when you look across individual sites that are participating in clinical trials, for any clinical trial, up to 25 to 30% of sites will never enroll a single patient, and that leads to tremendous inefficiencies in the overall enterprise.
So now let's get into the discussion about pragmatic clinical trials. How is this different, and how does it address some of the issues that we've just talked about?
Okay. Well, so that's a very good question. I think it's increasingly recognized that our traditional framework for conducting clinical research and doing highly focused explanatory trials while, yielding precise estimates of the effectiveness of a particular drug in a very narrow population often provides inadequate evidence for understanding how we might generalize the results of a particular trial to broader populations. So typically what you find in the approval process for new medications is that you have very tightly controlled clinical trials that are targeting patients with very defined sets of associated conditions. And because this group is so homogeneous, it allows you to determine the effectiveness of a particular drug in that population using smaller numbers of patients. The challenge, though, is then, when you try to generalize the use of that drug into the majority of patients who are seen in clinical practice, it's unclear the degree to which, the results will apply, to sort of the average patient who is part of a population that's not so well circumscribed.
You see then that there may be more of a push towards these types of trials because of the baby boomer generation coming on board, the demographic push of this with more people with chronic conditions, more people with Alzheimer's and other kinds of medical conditions. Will there be more of a push for pragmatic clinical trials because of that?
Well, so I think you will see a greater push towards, pragmatic clinical trials. And in to some degree, the application of pragmatic trials reflects a bit of a cultural shift in how you conduct a clinical trial. So it's also important to recognize that when, you know, highly focused explanatory trials are conducted, they're often conducted under, you know, very rigid, you know, clinical circumstances where, you know, individuals get a prescribed medication or receive an intervention under, you know, rigid conditions that are as similar as possible from patient to patient. However, in the real world of clinical practice, when we implement interventions or a drug, we often have to make, you know, modifications on the fly to accommodate the individual needs of patients. So as you take clinical trials into routine practice settings, what it's going to take is just sort of an acceptance of being able to mimic within the trial the types of practice that are, you know, routine and less circumscribed.
You are on the external advisory board for the effort around here that's called Frontiers, and that's for the Clinical and Translational Science Awards project here. What are you finding here with Frontiers? Anything that pops out at you about how the people here are approaching it and the organizations that are involved?
Well, I think, you know, in the short time that they've been funded, they've made, you know, extraordinary, you know, progress in trying to ramp up a number of, you know, new programs and resources. So just launching anything of this magnitude in complex organizations is incredibly, you know, challenging. And I've, you know, been just very impressed with the ability of Frontiers to stick to an overall game plan and basically make significant progress in all aspects of their services and resources. What's also, I think, very impressive is the degree to which, you know, Frontiers has really reached out, you know, to the community in Kansas City, that they've done an exceptional job of going beyond just the boundaries of the University of Kansas and are working, you know, to make this really a regional-wide, you know, center. And, you know, any time that you sort of expand the number of organizations, you know, that are involved in a particular initiative like this, it obviously makes it incredibly more complex, you know, to make work. Sort of managing, you know, the organizational and the, you know, political relationships is much more complex. But I think to their credit, you know, they've done a wonderful job of really gaining, you know, widespread stakeholder buy-in into their underlying mission, which is to, you know, promote translational science to improve health.
Now, you've worked with other CTSAs. Is there a set of common denominators for success for this kind of project to move forward?
I mean, I think that's a really, you know, great question. So all, you know, CTSAs are, you know, the 60 institutions that have been funded for the CTSA initiative, all of these programs are incredibly, you know, complex. And in order for them to work, you know, they really have to be customized to, you know, their own individual, you know, settings and, you know, in an effort to, you know, try to integrate the existing strengths in translational science, you know, in different institutions, which, you know, varies greatly, as well as, you know, just to navigate, you know, the organizational and, you know, political boundaries, you know, which also, you know, differ quite a bit. So in a lot of ways, you know, the institutions are, you know, very unique, although, you know, they do share a common goal, you know, generally of advancing, you know, the different phases of translational science. And I think as I look at Frontiers, they really have a very nice spectrum of research. They're, you know, have a big effort in sort of early translational research, focusing on new drug development, which is an increasing priority within the NIH. But they also have, you know, an excellent focus in doing community-based research and trying to better disseminate and implement clinical interventions that are shown to be beneficial in ways that are acceptable to the populations that they're working with.
Well, if you could look into a crystal ball and look 5 years ahead, where will this kind of process lead to in terms of making it easier and better for researchers to be able to do their jobs, giving more tools to doctors, and then to patients at the bedside who will be on the receiving end of these new developments? What do you see in 5 years?
Well, what I see in 5 years is that in order, you know, for large programs to be successful, they're really going to have to work on trying to figure out how to better leverage the resources that they have. And in, you know, that context, it's incredibly important for different programs within single institutions or across institutions to figure out how they can better collaborate. So one of the biggest challenges often in putting together a successful CTSA program is to recognize what the existing, you know, strengths are. What are the unique things that a CTSA institution can do to increase access to those resources, or perhaps to take those resources and get them over a certain hump so that they can provide more valuable services. And to do that, but not to duplicate what actually has been working, pretty well. And that's where I think, you know, all institutions have, you know, different strengths. And it's really the job of the CTSA, you know, to figure out, you know, how you best integrate what you can uniquely do by, you know, bringing people and programs together in a way that, you know, really benefits the entire environment. And I think the institutions that are going to be successful in a very constrained funding environment over the next 5 to 10 years are going to be the ones that can, you know, figure out how to, you know, create these synergies.
Dr. Gary Rosenthal is director of the Institute for Clinical and Translational Science at the University of Iowa. He also serves on the External Advisory Board for Frontiers, the Heartland Institute for Clinical and Translational Research. For more information about Frontiers, visit frontiersresearch.org. That's frontiersresearch.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Frontiers Podcast.